This week, 3,000 metres up a Chilean mountain, scientists pressed the button to blow up 500,000 tonnes of rock. The mountain's called Cerro Amazonas, and the reason it was being blown up was to create the site for what will become the world's most powerful optical telescope. With typical scientific understatement, it's known as the European Extremely Large Telescope, or EELT. Jerry Gilmore from the Institute of Astronomy is one of the EELT initiative, and he's with us. Hello, Jerry.
Good evening.
So, first of all, what is this telescope?
It's designed to be the biggest optical and near-infrared telescope yet built. It will be maybe twice as big as its nearest competitor, four times bigger than the biggest that we have today, and will allow us to go maybe 100 times deeper and fainter into the universe.
When we say optical telescope, what does that mean?
It means this thing is especially designed to work on the same light that we see by eye, but also on the heat that we feel on our skin. So it doesn't study radio waves, doesn't study the frequency that this program's going out on, and it doesn't study the far infrared because that's invisible from the ground. You have to go into space to do that. But the sort of warm and visible light is where all the normal stars shine, actually. That's why we look that way.
Now, when we say big and extremely large, this imaginative name for this telescope, how big actually is it?
They're pretty dull names, aren't they? The, its predecessor is called the Very Large Telescope, so we're going to run into humongous soon, I think. It is big. The mirror is just under 40 metres, which is about 40% of the size of a football field, and that's the glass, the mirror. The telescope structure itself is maybe twice that size, a huge big thing.
And when we say 40 metres is the mirror, is that one single piece of glass, or is it the mirror equivalent of an insect eye, lots of little mirrors that all work together?
It's exactly the second, yes. You can't make one big mirror, or even if you could, it would be kind of difficult to carry it up the side of a mountain. So it's actually made of over 1,000 small mirrors, each of which is about a metre in size, actually. They're little hexagons that all fit together, just like the panels on a football. There's about 1,000 of these things, each individually controlled, so that they're acting as if they're a single large mirror.
And this means that you can, I presume, focus or tweak the performance of the telescope very, very accurately, because you can move each of these individual elements and therefore overcome aberrations in them moving a little bit, or gravity, or the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's the reason that these things are multi-mirror. Any structure that big sags under its own weight. It gets blown around by the wind, shakes. There's little earthquakes shaking things all the time anywhere on Earth. And so having a large number of mirrors, each of which is fine-tuned about 1,000 times a second, allows us to correct for this real-time disturbance function and produce a telescope that works, although it's bigger than anything else, it will work very much higher precision than anything we've done before as well. So we get really, really sharp image quality.
Why the top of a mountain in Chile?
Yes, you're right. We had a little bang so that we could do better at studying the Big Bang. The reason we go to high mountains is basically to get away from the water and dust in the air. The reason that stars twinkle and everything blurs out at night is because of water in the air. So you have to go high and dry, and the highest, driest place on Earth is the northern Andes in Chile. So there are a lot of telescopes up there, and it's the best site on Earth on which to actually do astronomy.
And the bang was to level off the top of the mountain just to make the site good?
Yes. Mountaintops in general don't come flat, and so telescopes need to be on a flat base and hard rock. So you've got to get rid of all the fractured rubbish and clean it off so that you've got a good solid foundation.
You've said that this will return stunningly good quality images, which are far more powerful than much that we've ever been able to see before. But what exactly will you be able to do with this telescope? What are the goals of this mission?
Well, size matters in telescopes for two reasons. The first is a bigger collection gives you more light, so you can see fainter objects. And so you can get a much more detailed studies on the oldest things in the universe, the first things that formed only a few hundred million years after the Big Bang. And we can detect these things with things like the Hubble Space Telescope, but no more than that. And this telescope's designed to allow us to study them in detail. But the other thing you can do with the big telescopes is have a lot more magnification if you've got good image quality, so that you can then look at things that are very close to other things. And the particular challenge here is to look for planets around other stars, measure their colours, and see if we can find an Earth-like planet at the right distance from its parent star, and see if it goes white in winter and green in summer.
In other words, we'll be able to see bodies, these distant planets, which are much smaller than those we can see at the moment. Because we can see loads of planets around other stars, these exoplanets, but they're all big ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they're big ones, and also they're mostly seen only indirectly. We see them by actually measuring all of the light plus the star plus planet, and then subtracting off what we see when the planet goes around the back. And so you're actually measuring a difference between two very large numbers, which is quite hard to do accurately. With enough magnification and enough light collection, you'll actually see the planet as a planet. So you'll have a real image of a real independent planet.
I'd like to finish by asking you about the price tag and the delivery date for this. So when will this telescope go live and how much is it costing?
The cost would be about €1.25 billion in today's money. The project started getting on for 15 years ago now. It should be finished in principle in another 10 years from now. That depends on cash flow and technical issues.
And who is paying for this?
It's funded by Europe, the European Southern Observatory. That's a collection of 20-odd countries, all the obvious Western European countries, but with a couple of other significant partners, including Chile, of course, where the host country, and Brazil, which is joining European Southern Observatory as part of a much bigger program to combine Brazilian science with European science. And so their joining fee provides the crucial extra money. So we're all hoping they win this World Cup and feel happy and turn up with a check pretty soon.
Have they not paid yet?
It takes a long time to get things through the Brazilian parliament. The deal was signed by President Lula 5 years ago, but getting things through complex political structures takes time.
How much does Brazil owe you?
It's only €0.33 billion. I mean, it's small change compared to a football game.
Do you think they've invested it in the World Cup rather than in your telescope then? Is that where they're late?
They might have borrowed it, yeah.
Well, maybe they've staked it all on their games.
Oh, good luck to them.
Maybe they'll be able to invest a bigger share in the telescope in future.
I'll be out there cheering.
Jerry Gilmore from the Institute of Astronomy. Thanks very much.